Chapter 32. A Busy New Year. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Jesus. 1899. The first issue of the Christian Science Weekly in the new year was doubled in size, from 8 pages to 16 pages. But something of greater interest to the field was transpiring this first week in January. The December Journal had carried a notice from the Board of Education that 21 teachers were to be certificated annually. That application for examination must be on the printed forms which were now available, and that applications must be presented prior to December 20th. On the second day of the new year, the first Monday in January, the Board of Education convened for the first time in the Mother Church in Boston, with an attendance of 167 pupils. Students came from all parts of the country, from Canada, from London, England, and from Dresden, Germany. The applicant from Dresden was an American woman with an interesting story. Frances Thurber Seale. Frances Thurber Seale knew nothing of Christian Science when she felt drawn to a testimony meeting in New York City one summer evening. And she came out of that meeting transformed, born again. Longing to know more about God, she soon went to Mrs. Laura Lathrop, though not for healing, because the diseases from which she suffered were hereditary and incurable. After arranging to enter a class the next month, she went home with a borrowed copy of No and Yes, which she read through 3 times that very evening. At the conclusion of her reading, she realized that her physical ailments had completely disappeared. Less than a year later, Mrs. Lathrop sent for Miss Seale, told her there was a call for a healer in Dresden, and that she was the one to answer this call. In Miss Seale's words, "I reminded her that I knew almost nothing of Christian Science as yet, but she insisted that I had the necessary qualifications. I told her that I did not know how to give a treatment, but she said, 'Never mind. You have love and the qualities of obedience and honesty, and they will carry you through, and God will show you how to do the work.' And God did just that. Her story, Christian Science in Germany, is a 19th century gospel story of all manner of sickness and all manner of disease being healed. Her ministrations extended to many seafaring men, and one mission of mercy left her unexpectedly back in the United States for several months. She felt God had brought her back for some purpose, and when Mrs. Lathrop told her it was to attend the college class soon to convene, she immediately made application and was accepted. Shortly thereafter, a bylaw was published requiring applicants to have 3 years of practice, and Miss Seale had only 1. It had been but 2 years since she had first heard of Christian Science. To her teacher, who felt that she should withdraw, she said that if God had brought her here for the class, she could not shut the door on herself. Evidently, Mrs. Lathrop wrote to the Board of Education, for Mr. Kimball wrote Mrs. Eddy of the situation, asking her what should be done. The leader replied, "Make an exception in this instance and admit her to the class. Then let her stand or fall by her own demonstration. No student gained more from this class and examination than did Miss Seal. In her words, "From the first moment, the subject of Christian Science was opened up systematically and clearly. At the close of the period, I felt that I stood at the very throne of God and heard the voice saying of man, quote, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased,'" end quote. The blessing that came through this teaching opened my understanding and became to me a divine command to go forth and carry this gift of God to others. No words could express the debt of gratitude the world owes to the inspired teaching of that great apostle, Edward A. Kimball, who taught that class and many others. He made the omnipresence and omnipotence of divine love so clear that his students could not fail to see its healing and saving power. Many of the students, if not most, did not expect to receive teaching certificates, and no one was more surprised than was Miss Seal to receive one. Only the newly certificated teachers, who numbered a few more than 21, for some certificates had been issued jointly to husbands and wives, attended the class in obstetrics, which was held on Monday, January 9th, and was taught by Alfred E. Baker, M.D., C.S.B. Alfred E. Baker. Dr. Baker had forsaken Materia Medica for the practice of Christian Science soon after he and his wife Anna had studied with Flavia Knapp. These devout ex-Quakers from Philadelphia had seen Mrs. Eddy for the first time at the Independence Day celebration at Pleasant View in 1897. And a year and a half later, they were occupying the residential portion of Christian Science Hall in Concord, where they maintained Mrs. Eddy's room for the mother's use. When Mrs. Eddy reopened her college in 1899, in conjunction with her church, Dr. Baker was one of the 4-member Board of Education. His position was teacher of metaphysical obstetrics, which he taught under the leader's supervision. In Dr. Baker's words, the aim of this class was, quote, "to bring forth the perfect child, a safe delivery for the mother, and to do away forever with the need of medicine," end quote. An item of interest appeared in the January 19th issue of the Weekly, with no comment upon it. Only once since the world began, February 1866, was in one way the most wonderful month in the world's history. It had no full moon. January had 2 full moons, and so had March, but February had none. This remarkable state of things has never happened before, since the era we assign to the creation. Denver, Colorado, Weekly Times, Sunday, January 4th, 1899. This January 19th issue also contained an interesting message from the leader. Christian Science Souvenir Spoons. On each of these most beautiful spoons is a motto in bas relief that every person on earth needs to hold in thought. Mother requests that Christian scientists shall not ask to be informed what this motto is. But each scientist shall purchase at least one spoon, and those who can afford it, one dozen spoons, that their families may read this motto at every meal, and their guests be made partakers of its simple truth. Mary Baker G. Eddy. Perhaps many students turned back to an earlier issue of the weekly to reread the description of the souvenir spoon. Later, rumors were circulated that Mrs. Eddy disapproved of the spoon, but such rumors were categorically denied. She had seen how the world had tried to deny that Jesus had ever lived among men, and she knew it would endeavor to do the same thing with her history. Any bit of concrete, factual evidence that might endure the ravages of time would help to disprove the lies of malicious mind. So the souvenir spoon description was reprinted in the January journal. A recent product of the silversmith's art is, quote, the Mary Baker Eddy souvenir spoon, end quote, which has been prepared by the Christian Science Souvenir Company of Concord, New Hampshire, under our leader's authority and sanction. It is a massive piece of work of singularly rich and suggestive design. A lifelike bas-relief portrait of the mother is the central feature of the ornamentation, while her autograph in facsimile relief adorns the handle. An original text written by Mrs. Eddy for the spoon is reproduced in facsimile upon the obverse. In the bowl is a striking and faithful picture of Pleasant View. About the handle appears gracefully wreathed the mother's favorite flower, the rose, and surmounting the whole is the emblem of the cross and crown. January 19th was the last issue of the Christian Science Weekly, for on that day the leader wrote to Hannah, Sentinel is the proper title for our weekly. Also, let me prophesy Sentinel, and the motto with it describes the future of this newspaper. It will take that place and must fill it when numerous periodicals of our denomination are extant. And so one week later, the front page of the weekly bore its new name and motto. One reader saluted the promotion of the weekly to Sentinel in these words, quote, with true military genius, our beloved leader has set this watchman on the tower. How aptly the words of the prophet, Ezekiel 3, lines 15 to 21, seem to apply to this hour, and again to be echoed along our lines with the admonition to watch with greater vigilance. End quote. He went on to note that at just 21 weeks of age, the young weekly had reached its majority, come of age, and become the Sentinel. Before the first Sentinel appeared, Ezra Buswell conducted his last service in Christian Science Hall. The mother had invited Reverend Tomlinson and his sister Mary to Pleasant View in December, and during the visit invited them to become first and second readers at Christian Science Hall. The Buswells left Concord to return to Beatrice, Nebraska on Friday, January 20th, and the Tomlinsons began as readers the following Sunday, positions they held for the next 7 years. The organization of a branch church in Concord was inevitable, But even as it was emerging, the leader wrote to a prominent Concord scientist. I did not want a church so near me in Concord. I have all I should do for mine in Boston. Now I see the care is increased, that I need diminished, and if there were no Sunday service and only healers here, I sincerely believe it would be better for me and the world. God governs me. When I sent for Mr. B, I told him I did not want the church or Sunday services which lead to it, but healing work where I was. This was God's first order, and in 33 years I have not yielded to depart from his first order without being driven back to take it up. Reverend Tomlinson replaced Mr. Buswell as reader in Christian Science Hall, but another man had been called to Concord for the important work of healing. Did the leader tell Alfred Baker, M.D., the same thing that she had told Ezra Buswell when he first came to Concord? Dr. Baker worked closely with and for Mrs. Eddy for several years, was a member of the Board of Education of the Massachusetts Metaphysical College, and teacher of obstetrics as long as it was taught, was a successful practitioner of Christian Science, yet he was never associated with the church organization. Concord Church organized, quote, "Suffer it to be so now," end quote, seemed to be Mrs. Eddy's experience with church organization. Thus it was that early in February, she asked Reverend Tomlinson to take the necessary steps to form the organization for First Church of Concord, although she declined their invitation to head the list of their charter members. Tomlinson consulted with the tried and true Boston students and soon submitted his handiwork to the leader for her criticism. She returned his bylaws, saying they were totally unsuitable for a branch church, for they copied the mother church bylaws, which are unique and not a model for a branch church. The mother church recommended that they use the bylaws of a democratic branch church as a model, so as to place the affairs of the church in the hands of its members. The founder's advice to her followers in February 1899 in regard to temporary group action was for democratic procedures, but her advice for individual action, presented in the Sentinel on February 9th, was permanent. What our leader says. Beloved Christian Scientists, keep your minds so filled with truth and love that sin, disease, and death cannot enter them. It is plain that nothing can be added to the mind already full. There is no door through which evil can enter, and no space for evil to fill in a mind filled with goodness. Good thoughts are an impervious armor. Clad therewith, you are completely shielded from the attacks of error of every sort. And not only yourself are safe, but all whom your thoughts rest upon are thereby benefited. It is the evil thinker who injures himself with what he would have harm others. Goodness involuntarily resists evil. The evil thinker takes his own dose and dies of his own physic. The right thinker is safe and abides under the shadow of the Almighty, His thoughts can only reflect peace, goodwill, health, and holiness. Following the Wednesday evening testimonial meeting in Christian Science Hall on the 22nd of February, the membership remained to complete the formal organization of the Concord Church. In response, Mrs. Eddy wrote, quote, "We beheld the omen, religious liberty, the Father of the universe, and the Father of our nation in concurrence," end quote. Her beautiful letter, Miscellany, page 148, was read to the church the following Sunday, then printed in the Concord Evening Monitor, and reprinted in the Sentinel. But the message was of great import and too broad to be limited to such a small audience. The mother had Calvin Fry send a special request to her board of trustees, asking them to contact students in all the principal cities of our country with the request that they have local newspapers publish her, quote, "address to First Church of Christ Scientist, Concord, New Hampshire," end quote. And this address was published all over our country.